Welcome to the Journey to the New Earth podcast, where we invite you into our motivating and fun community to safely share ideas on raising consciousness and creating new systems that support humanity and Earth as a whole. We'll dive deep with fascinating interviews about near-death experiences, the world of psychics, mediums, and how channeling affects our modern lives, all while exploring where we are, what isn't working, and what we can do to facilitate the evolution of humans on a local, global, and galactic scale. Now here's your host, Kimberly.
Today we're talking with spiritual healer and medium, Denise Ramone. Denise, welcome in. So happy to have you.
Oh, thank you. It's so good to be here. Good to see you.
Nice to see you. Full disclosure, Denise and I are friends. We've been friends for about 5 years now. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Denise has actually done a couple of readings for me with my daughter, and I interviewed Denise about 5 years ago. It's here on YouTube. I'll have it listed down below. I didn't watch it, Denise, because I wanted to make sure. I wanted to see if I was going to ask the same questions. So happy to have you here. The first thing I want to talk with you about is, how did all this start for you? Was it something that you feel like you were came in with, or is it something you developed later in life? Tell us the story of how your mediumship skills began.
Sure. You know, when I look back, I always had this desire to know more about God, Jesus, or whatever it was, because I didn't grow up in a religious home. We didn't go to church, rarely, except when we were trying to get my dad to stop drinking. But I just always had a fascination for the something to do with God and Jesus. So, you know, I always would send away for way back when they had a section in the newspaper when called the parade. And in there was a section in there where you could send away for free Jesus stuff. And I remember doing that at the age of 11 and 12 and just being excited to get that in the mail. But that's as far as that went. But when I was 23, I had an older brother who died very unexpectedly at the age of 28. And that was very devastating to the whole family. When that happened, of course, I was devastated along with the rest of my family. And at his funeral, as I was leaning over his closed casket, saying the boo-hoos that you would say, this warmth feeling just infused my body. I will never forget that. And this warmth and this love that words cannot even describe. And I remember just going like this, wanting to see who it was, but I heard, just be still. In that moment, I knew there really is a God. I remember saying, oh my God, there really is a God. And I don't mean the churchy God. And in that moment, I knew that my brother was supposed to die August 9th, regardless of how he transitioned. I knew in that moment, everybody goes to the other side of what we call heaven. And I knew that God was there for me because he said, the time is right. Your brother is with me and I'm here for you. When it was all done, I knew I could get up, and I didn't say a word to anybody about it until a year later, because I didn't want anybody to tell me different, because I knew it was truth. And I just would go pray, meditate. I don't even know what I would call it back then. And I would just connect to that energy and just say, please help me to move forward. Of course, I was still devastated by my brother's death. It was still sad. And even though I knew that it was his time and I knew where he was, I had my humanness, the grief process, the loss, everything to go through. And I just would just sit and just say, keep my feet moving forward. And as I became ready, the teachers would appear. And of course, this was before computers and that. So people would come into my life, songs would come on that I needed to hear, books would come into my life. And I just kept moving forward with this. And then when I was about 32, 33 is when it really started kicking in. And then from there, I just continued to spend time in meditation every morning before I started my day. One thing led into the other. And then I met a mentor who brought into my awareness how I am a healer. And then I found out that I do channel and I hear people from the other side. And it was very scary. I'm going to tell you, it wasn't like, oh, yay, I do this. It was quite scary.
So when you were 32, 33, and you said it really kicked in, can you tell us what happened? What things changed that you started perceiving?
Well, when I was 32, you know, we all have things that we need to heal. Well, most of us, and I did at that time. And mine was sexual abuse. The only thing I knew to do to get through this, because I had zero memory of it, zero, was to spend time in meditation, because I knew that was a safe place. And as I did that, I just had this knowing in me that this was a part of the healing and that I would be okay. And as I was doing this, I just knew my hands just started warming up and I knew I could start healing. And I just started using that. And I knew that people were watching me. I didn't know how I knew. I just knew people were watching me. So I knew I had to continue moving forward. I did have a knock on my door and say, how did you do this? Because we found out we had it in my family.
So you're not the first medium in your family?
This one, and it was another family that came knocking on my door that watched me.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how I just knew that, I don't know, it was just a knowing. It's in my intuitiveness. It was just a knowing that I wasn't healing this for myself. I was healing this for others. And it just, you get something, it's like eating something delicious when you can't stop. And it's like, mm-hmm. This is so delicious. And the healing aspect and the knowing that you just keep moving forward and the universe just keeps bringing you more delicious stuff to keep looking at. And that's how I got into this. And I just wanted to share what I knew and what I know and what I continue to learn.
So you talked about a mentor coming to your life. Can you share a little bit about what happened with that relationship?
Sure. So we owned a metaphysical store years ago, and this lady came in because she did workshops and stuff, you know, and teaching people about past life regressions and auras and all those types of things. And when she came in, she says, you know, you're a healer, right? And my stomach was like, oh my God, she knows.
I've been because found out.
Yes. And I was so, I didn't want people to think I was crazy. And so I kept it hush hush for a long time. And then she just would come in and we let her do workshops. And then we just started talking. And she just said, you know, this is who you are and you need to explore that. And this isn't for you to keep. These abilities you have are for you to share. Mm-hmm. And I knew that. I just knew that. So she worked with me to get somewhat comfortable with it and to start using it. And you know, in doing that, I started realizing that I do hear souls from the other side, loved ones, people that I've never met and stuff like that coming to me, you know. And she taught me how to put up boundaries. So I don't have a constant chat room going on in my head, you know, because mm-hmm. this was all new to me, even though it isn't new, if
yeah.
that makes sense.
Yeah, it probably feels like an age old skill.
Yes.
They've had it forever.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So did your healing abilities come before your mediumship abilities? Like as you were
yes.
expanding. So what did that healing energy look like for you? And how did you practice it? Or how did you take it? You know, how did you bring that into the world?
Well, my partner has migraines, or should I say had migraines. So I would work on her. And I see colors, and they bring in, I say they, my team, it's two males and a female. They come in, and the colors they bring in are really not of colors of earth, but I always try, and when I work with people, to attach it to a color that's similar here, I just follow the energy, and they put the colors in that need to be there, and they let me know sometimes what it's from or where the pain's coming from. It feels like it's here, but it's really down here. And I just follow the energy and just listen to them. Of course, I get into a state, I get grounded before I start, and I just listen.
So are you hearing voices, or are you seeing images, or are you just getting a sense, this is where I need to go next?
I see images and I feel. And it's not like a voice like you and I are talking, but sometimes I hear there was a loss of a baby because I'll feel pain in the ovary or something. Mm-hmm. Or I will feel pain in the chest and I will hear they don't feel like they can talk or just whatever the situation is. And that's how I see it. I don't hear voices like you and I talk, but they do show me images, color a lot of time, and I can just feel it.
Gosh, that's so interesting. You know, I do this thing, Denise, and I've never heard anyone talk about colors for healing before. But often when I feel like I'm getting a bug or something's going on, I'll get really quiet and a color will pop into my mind. And I'll take that color and I'll just move it around that area. Mm-hmm. You're the first person I've talked to, and it seems to really work. And I think that that's something that's a gift, that's an innate gift that we all have. It's just learning to connect with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you're healing people, and now all of a sudden, dead people are talking to you. How did that happen? What happened next with that? Was it surprising?
Well, yes, because I thought I had multiple personalities.
Oh, okay.
I knew I wasn't.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. And I knew I wasn't schizophrenic because I knew what that was or is. So I thought I had multiple personalities. And of course, you're going to think the worst, you know, as we do sometimes. So when I was going through some therapy, I asked my therapist, I said, I think I have multiple personalities. And so, you know, over 3 period time, I finally believed her that no, I do not. So mainly because we probably wouldn't ask that if we did. And then that's when I made the connection and someone told me, my mentor said, you know, you're hearing spirits from the other side, you're hearing loved ones. And she taught me, just go with what the first thing you hear. Mm-hmm. And anything after that is probably your ego, your humanness, your logic trying to come in. Because, you know, we've been taught for eons not to trust our inner voice.
Isn't that the truth? We've just had it shamed right out of us.
Exactly. So now I'm having to trust that. So she told me that's why you go with the first thing, because then logic tries to come in and say, no, that can't be right. And it is that simple. The energy source, whatever you, God, Jesus, whatever you want to call it, comes in. And when you connect with your higher self, you can just, it just starts like a regular conversation, like you and I are talking. And so that's what I did. And sometimes things would come out and I'm like, oh, that just doesn't make sense to me, but it makes sense to the other person. So I've learned, just go with what comes out of my, what comes first, and then don't try and reason with it.
Mm-hmm. So you were in your early 30s when this started opening up for you.
Yes.
What I'm curious about is, and I think that as we move forward here on the planet and the energies are shifting, we're all starting to have our connectedness come back online at least a little bit. I would imagine for you over the years, your connection has changed and shifted. How did it first start and what's it like now? Because I imagine it's more comprehensive now, would be my guess.
You're right. It is, because back then I was, you know, it was the angels because that was safe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I didn't grow up in a religious home, so I was kind of scared of that because what I did see, and then I have nothing against religion, but the stuff I did see, you know, especially here where I live now, about people preaching on the street corner on a Saturday, and I was just real afraid of being like that. And then also too, when I was 17, my father got not lung cancer, he had leukemia. Anyway, I was so desperate for him to live. So this group that I worked with at this, what do you call it, fast food place, they had a Jesus group. And so I joined it because they told me my father would be healed. And it was just, they were just a little bit too strong for me. But anyway, thankfully, my father died 6-7 months later. So I was like, well, y'all are lying. That doesn't work. So I was always had that little bit of fear of something like me going to something like that again. So I was leery of that. But so I did the angels. And as I got comfortable, source, the universe, whatever you want to call it, just started revealing more to me. And as I got comfortable with it, then more would get revealed to me. And then the curtains just were pulling back. And the things that I thought I knew, I found out that I don't know. So then I got more curious as to what don't I know? And in doing that, the more you trust your inner voice, the more I started seeing that the stuff that I thought was truth was really an illusion. It really wasn't truth. And I learned that there's no way we would ever agree to come here if we didn't have a direct line to the other side, and that's our intuitiveness.
So why do you say we would never agree to come here without that direct connection? Because it's a challenging assignment?
Yes and no, because that's where our truth lies. From in within, not on the outside, not on the outside. I mean, we can have fun with all this stuff that's around us. There's nothing wrong. I mean, because we're supposed to have fun in that. But our truth doesn't come from the Louis Vuitton bag, the Rolls Royce, the 5,000 square foot home, and $1 million in our checking account. That's not where the truth. The truth lies from within. And to get that, we connect within, and that connects us to the other side.
Okay, so now I want to get on to what we're really doing here on Earth. And you just opened it up beautifully there. A lot of people will say, what's this all about? What are we doing here? This place is crazy. I don't like it. There is a point in purpose to us coming to Earth, and for Earth being such a tough gig. Can you talk a little bit about what you've learned about what the point and the purpose is of us coming here?
Right away, I hear to spread love. You know, this is such a beautiful planet. They call it Mother Earth for a reason. It's a feminine planet. We're all meant to cohabitate together. You know, we all have many different purposes. But, you know, when we sit there and learn to trust our own inner voice, magic happens. It just does. And all you have to do is believe, even when you don't believe, just believe. And that is my favorite word, believe. You know, and it's like the work that you do, it's not just for you. It's for all those who can't. So with the work that you do, that energy just spreads out. And regardless if the people are conscious of it or not, it helps to shift the energy. The work that I do, you know, sometimes when things are real difficult, whenever I'm working through some type of an emotion that's difficult, what gives me the strength to not kick and scream so long is that I know I'm doing this for others who can't do it. And this is what we're doing. And I talk to many people around the world, not to brag, but it warms my heart because the work that they're doing, and we're all strategically placed. So when it's real challenging and real difficult, that's a time to sit still.
Yes. That's when you get quiet.
Yes. That's when you go sit and go spend some quiet time, go for a walk, go take a shower, go wash the dishes, do something that's, I like to say, mindless, where you don't have to really focus. And, you know, it's not like cooking, you have to really watch everything, but, and just be still, you know, there's thousands of YouTube meditations out there. You know, find a mantra that feels good to you. It can be two words, it can be three words, just anything that works for you. You know, just envision yourself encapsulated in your favorite color or something. Just start somewhere. And you don't have to believe in Jesus or God either. It's just believing that there is something far greater than just this human body that we're in.
Yeah. So you talked about reconnecting with that energy that you felt first at your brother's funeral. When you get quiet, how do you find it? How do you find that energy?
I start breathing. What I do is I remember that feeling, and I feel it in my heart and in my I just say my gut, you know, just in my solar plexus, and I just feel it there, and I just stay with that feeling and just breathe. And as I'm there, then I'm allowing things to just come to me, you know, and then I just ask, you know, what is it that I need to know today? Or I just sit there and just breathe and just know that I'm in a safe place. I'm in my chair. And I had someone when I was 23, a mentor back then, tell me to always go meditate or pray at the same place at the same time every day.
Really?
And I didn't understand that until years later. And then I really got it. And then I even heard it not too long ago. It's because when we do it at the same place every day, that right there holds the memory, and that time holds the energy. So it's like building a house. You start out with 3 bricks. The next day you do 3 more, but now you have 6 bricks, and then you got 9, and then you got 12. So it may feel like you're not doing anything, but you are. And one, you know, the first day you may not have anything, and you may have an experience. But as you continue to do that, you're going to find changes. It could be as simple as somebody lets you pull out of a parking lot, or you find a parking spot right up front, or who knows, you know, somebody bought you a coffee, or the things that something really bad happened is got an accident, but you didn't freak out, or just whatever, or you got an unexpected check. Just things just start happening.
My experience, Denise, is that meditation is the gateway to a very different life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's one that if you would have told me even 20 years ago that I'd be where I am right now, I'd say, oh, there's no way. Because I couldn't even have fathomed this, mm-hmm. you know, and especially when I was in my 20s, absolutely none. And it's just amazing when we get out of the way and just start listening, the magic happens. And then we really get to experience how amazing life really is here.
Yeah, it is. Once you start down that road, at least for me, it becomes a very exciting journey, and Earth becomes a really interesting adventure.
Yes, because then you start seeing the truth of everything, and then you start knowing, whoa, I am more than what I've been told.
Mm-hmm.
That I think is so empowering. You still know that if you speed, you'll get a speeding ticket. And if you don't pay your bills, your lights get turned off. And those type of human things still take place. It's like there's a universe within us that we're discovering, and we're learning that we can heal our bodies. We can help heal this planet, and that what we do makes a huge difference. Yeah. A huge difference. Yes.
Yes. So now that you're in your 30s, you have this expanded awareness, you're connecting with souls who are no longer in the physical.
Mm-hmm.
How do you manage all this? Are they waking you up in the middle of the night? Are they chasing you around the house? Or are they popping in when you don't want them there? Like, how do you manage this information so that you can run a life that's reasonable for you?
Well, in the beginning, I didn't really have control over that. You know, they were just popping in, and I was saying stuff to strangers, you know, sometimes. And it's like this anxiousness, this anxiety. And then once I said it, then it was gone. So, and I really believe that was the universe's way of making me move forward in what I feared the most. Because I really thought people thought I was going to be crazy. And I would say, yeah, I know you might think I'm crazy. And what I learned is from previous lifetimes, I did this work. And I got locked up in jail, prison, whatever it was back then. Uh-huh. And that's where that came from. It wasn't from this life, because nobody told me I was crazy for doing this. When I noticed that it just was happening all the time, that's when I learned to put in boundaries. So when they would wake me up in the middle of the night, I'd say, not now, I'm sleeping. And then I just learned I don't know how to explain it other than I just had boundaries where I just didn't allow that to just start coming into my field, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if I would feel it, I would just say no, and I would just blow it away or whatever, especially like going to the malls and getting all that energy, you know, and stuff. And I would just, I don't know, I would just turn it off. Like, I don't want to know things, because I don't want to know things about people and all that other stuff. It's just not for me. And the beauty, I do want to say, what I channel is not for me, it's for the person. So I don't usually have a memory of it. If the person comes back for a second session, then they'll replay back some of it so that I can remember for that person. I just learned to say, no, not now, not now. This is my time. And sometimes I still do that a little bit. If I'm out and I can pick something, I'll just say, no, not now. And then I'll just focus on where I am right now and doing what I'm doing, having fun and playing. Yeah.
So managing your own energy field is probably really important for you.
It is. And, you know, I think that's part for all of us to do. you know, regardless if you channel or not, because we can walk into a room and we can feel, oh my God, somebody's mad or somebody's angry, something doesn't feel right. And then we check in to see what we did or what, and, you know, and so we all have this feeling that we can pick up things. But I just learned, and I still have to remind myself, like, this isn't you. Focus on where you are right now and just do that. Breath work helps a lot.
Yeah, keeping your breath. Yes. So do you have a funny story for us about an incident where you're somewhere and a spirit is saying, I need you to talk to that person over there?
I do. And my sister and brother had a group of friends that they shared because they were close in age. One of them, he had passed away, and this was probably, I don't know, 7, 8 years ago, 9 years ago. And he came to me and was just talking to me. So, and in that friend group, he was, had a girlfriend that's in the same friends group with my sister, which I knew of them back when I was 14 and 15. And so I hadn't talked to the one guy, his name was Eric, and not one that people might be familiar with, but another one. So he kept telling me, he wanted me to tell this other person this information, that he was okay and wanted me to give him more information. And I just argued with him for 3 days. And I'm like, I am not telling her this. I haven't spoken to her in over 20 years. I'm not doing this. And this went on, like I said, for 3 days. I remember driving back home from my daughter's school going, no, I'm not doing this. And then finally I got home. I said, okay, I'll just tell her a little bit and that's it. And then he said, make a blanket. So I was doing those snow sew fleece blankets. And I said, okay, I'll make a blanket. Normally those things would take me an hour and a half to do. I made it in about 30 to 45 minutes. And I could feel his energy going in there. And I mailed it to her. And then she texted me right away and said, oh, I believe in all of this. I want to know more. And I knew in that moment, erased all doubt, that anytime Source wants me to give a message or a spirit from it, it's that person's ready to hear it. And it is not my responsibility on how they receive it. My responsibility is to give it. And that's it. And that one was so strong, and it was so weird because I don't even remember what that guy looked like, because it had been, I didn't see him since I was like 14.
Yeah.
And I'm way older than that now. So
just a few years.
Yeah, just a few.
Okay. So I have a question about when people are not in the physical and they're looking to get to communicate with someone who's still incarnated on the planet, how do they know that that person is able to hear and see them? It's like, do you light up for them? How do they know to come to you and not to someone else?
That's a good question. What I have come to learn is that they come to the people who will use their voice. So let's just say Grandpa Joe, let's say Grandpa Joe is your Grandpa Joe, and he comes to me and he's talking to me. He knows that you are going to listen to my voice and okay. hear the message. Mm-hmm. So they pick who they know will be the deliverer, who will be heard. And even though you're so closed off to it, Papa Joe knows that you're going to hear my voice and you're going to listen to me. Mm-hmm. And so that's how they know who to pick. So it's just, I don't know. That's how I see it as.
All right. So do you think that spirits, I don't know, I hate calling them spirits because they're just people. They don't have a body anymore. That's the only difference.
Right,
do you think they talk amongst themselves and like, hey, I used this gal before. She's pretty good. She'll do it. Do you think that they kind of like have little favorites, or they point to someone, or how do they know that you're going to be the one? Because if they came to me, I might get a sense of some kind of disturbance in my field, but I don't know that I would be able to read the messages the same way that you do.
Well, what would happen is they would start out probably, let's just say you're not there. So, but you are there, but you just don't know you're there. So what they would do is they would give you something easy, you know, like they might say, you might get this craving for bubblegum for whatever reason, and you go get bubblegum, and then here comes a person and you can tell they're sad or something. They ease your way into the knowing, bringing your awareness into a situation. Do they communicate with each other? Of course they do. Of course they do. I always look at it as they have a bird's eye view into everything. So they know who can deliver the message for them, but they also work with us because they see that we're massaging that part of us. And so they help us along, you know.
It's kind of like a coach. Like they see, they see you being willing to start stretching those muscles, and they come in and they help.
Yes. And then they they do that. And also too, you know, sometimes we need a little jolt to like, oh yes, because we've been scared to use it. I feel like that situation I happened at my brother's funeral was a lifeline for me, because I would have never dived into it otherwise, because I was so scared of it. They just know the perfect tool to get us going. I do want to say though, we have a free will to say yes to it or to say no to it. It's not shoved down our throat. It just is not.
Yeah, and free will is probably one of the strongest principles in the universe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we do have a choice in everything that we do.
I want to talk about right now, because the energy on the planet is shifting and people are opening up. I know that there are going to be people that are going to start sensing, seeing, feeling, hearing information that they didn't hear before. I mean, I see it in myself. My telepathy abilities, in other words, and it's not even that I'm looking for it, is that I'll just get a constant repeated message over and over, and then I'll call a friend and find out they've been thinking about this one thing. So we're all expanding. Based on your years of working with this expanded skill set, which is so, I just love it. I just, like, I could talk to you all day long about it. What would you like to share with people about? What kinds of things can they expect? How can they keep working with it? Just kind of a little primer for people who had never connected outside of just the five senses, which we have so many more than that.
Oh,
so what do you want to share about what we can expect as the years move forward and we become much more open?
Okay, so the first thing I'm hearing is stop watching the news.
Done.
So, yeah, because that creates fear, and the fear puts a separation in for us. So, if you stopped watching the news already, start being mindful of what you do watch on TV. And the things that you can do besides that is just do these spirit of the moment things, you know, things that you wouldn't normally think to do, that all of a sudden, like, you know, I want to go get a snow cone, because the universe has a way of directing us, like you said, making the phone call and stuff like that. Or you may start been thinking about how I just, you know, I used to love to color in the coloring books when I was little. And that's been a thought. Go to the dollar store and buy a coloring book and crayons and just color. Just these simple things quiets us down to where the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, can open up. Or even your loved ones can come in and start talking to you, you know, and because they do want us to hear. They have a lot of stuff to give us, you know. It's just amazing when we quiet our thoughts, the universe within us just opens up. I want to tell you a story. So I went to this place. We went to this place in Cancun called Senses. And you walk through this thing and you go through these different climates and temperatures and stuff. And it's pitch black. And they tell you, if you've got claustrophobia or heart disease, don't go in here. And then they tell you, as you're walking in, you walk with your elbows like this, feeling the walls. And if you get freaked out, raise your hand and they'll have someone come in. And it takes about, I don't know, 3 minutes to walk through to 4 minutes. So they all thought, who I was with, my family thought I was going to freak out because I don't like the dark. Well, when I got in there, I started getting a little panicky. Well, I called in my brother and I heard, you're all in your head. Focus on your breathing. Feel your feet. And as I kept doing that, then I heard my brother say, now look up. And I saw a red light. So there wasn't total darkness anymore. And then as I kept walking, I was getting a little, you know, still freaking. He says, feel your feet. What does it feel like? And I said, cold. And as I start walking, he says, you're almost done. And then I heard, look straight ahead. And then I saw the exit. The other two people I was with got a little nervous and scared. And they said, how did you do it? And I said, I just asked my brother. And they said, well, you cheated. I said, no, I didn't. And that is how simple and it is to call on our loved ones. Mm-hmm. And all we have to do is just listen, mm-hmm. just listen.
Yeah. And I think that probably we all have this gift. That's what I believe.
All.
It is our birthright.
Yes.
We just the environment that we live in on the planet and how it got here, that's a whole nother discussion. But the environment has been determined to convince us that that's not the case.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
It is innate within all of us. And all you really have to do, at least my experience is ask.
That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do.
And they'll start doling out a little bit here and a little bit more here and a little bit more here. And the more, and the point you made of, you needed to give the message in order to have things move forward. You need to take the action to move forward to get the next level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, the universe, angels, people, our loved ones, whatever, they give us messages and they give us little trinkets too, so that we can go, oh, but we kind of brush it off.
Yeah.
You know, and think, no, that that's not it. You know, ask your guides, you know, give them something, you know, that you, that's like, tell them to, you know, put a feather in front of you so that you know that they're there, or an orange or something that that signifies. And just know when you're least expecting it, your guides will bring you something to let you know, yes, it's, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And just take that as that is them letting you know, and just keep that, because it is, they give us signs all the time.
Yeah. And you bring up a really good point. We think, or I think it's common for humans to think we're here alone. We're not.
Yeah.
We have this whole team in spirit, and it's a team effort because they're just as invested in getting us through these lessons as we are. And they're rooting for us. They're organizing things to help us along that pathway. Talk a little bit about, or share what you have learned about how committed our guides are to working with us while we're here. We're kind of the front men in a mission.
Yes. And, you know, I just want to say it does take courage to be here, but we have all of that within us. And our guides and even our past loved ones and that, they're all rooting for us. This is part. So we're continuing where they left off when they were here. And they're giving us everything that we need to move forward. That doesn't mean we're not going to be scared. It doesn't mean we're not going to have tears or some hardships or whatever. But what we can know is that everything is going to work out in the best, what's best for us at this time. Their goal too is to help heal this planet from the deception. And they're also here to help us define our truth that's within it. Because when we know our truths, then we don't start listening to all that chitter chatter on the outside. And then we're not caught up in the fear. And then we know we're worth more than what we can see. And when you know that, that is your power right there. That doesn't mean you're not going to wish you were 6 feet tall if you're 5'2", or that you had a, I don't know, that you had a car that didn't break down every 2 years or something. That doesn't mean that, but you're just going to know that you have nothing to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
What I always see them like, they're jumping up and down, getting all excited when we're listening.
Yeah. I feel like what I hear in my head, Denise, is like an applause tract. Yay! And then it'll fade away. It's so funny.
Yes. And that is because they do get excited, you know, the energies. And so when you get excited, that's like playing that excitement, you know, mm-hmm. help that to build and keep the momentum there as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I always pretend like I'm like rolling around and all that yumminess, you know, and just having fun with it.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like, for those of us who don't connect as clearly with the other side as someone like you does, I feel like, gosh, that's such a, if you're going to have a cool skill, that's it. That's the cool skill on the planet. Because it's almost as though you have an inside track, or you've got the cheat sheet to life, something along, because you have information or access to information that a lot of us don't understand. You know, we may be getting it, but we're not able to communicate it. So how did you kind of work with the fact that you were hearing things that the rest of us weren't? And how did you integrate that in? And did you feel like you were sort of getting more of the inside scoop?
You know, sometimes I think, well, they only knew the truth, but, or what I feel is the truth is. And some things, yes, But in other things, in the beginning, and sometimes now, I'm conservative on what I share, because not everybody wants to hear what you have to say. And the biggest thing for me was allowing people to be where they are in their belief mm-hmm. systems, mm-hmm. and knowing that that is the perfect place for them. And that's been a real relief for me. But I know some of the things that I know that a lot of other people know, that I see people around me that don't know, I know they're going to know one day too.
Yeah.
And to me, we're all headed to the same destination, and how we get there is different. We all have, some of us take the really long, extravagant scenic route, and some of us can go straight to it. And I take the scenic route at times too, but we all will get there. We just will. And it's a matter of when. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's okay if you don't want to get there today. It's okay. But that is your choice. And when I say you, I don't mean you personally, but, you know, if you want to start getting there, it's like, think of something that brings you joy. And it could be somebody gave you a piece of bubble gum one time, or somebody let you out when there was 2 miles long of traffic, or someone told you you were beautiful or something. Just get into that feeling of that, and then just breathe and sit in that wonderful feeling of that joy. And I'm telling you, the magic will happen. And I don't care if you believe or don't believe, it just will. It just will.
Yeah, things just start flowing in an amazing way.
It does. It does. That, and I want to emphasize, because you know this as well as I do, it doesn't take away your tears. Mm-hmm. But what it does do is it fills your cup up with hope and a knowing that there is better, and that it does get better, and that this, whatever it is you're going through, is temporary.
And for my best good, for all our best good, which is so,
yes,
it's so hard to accept when you're in the middle of it.
Yes. You know, and it's like what I really discovered years after my brother died was, you know, and it was very devastating to my mother, you know, and what I realized after her death, which was in 1996 or something, I can't remember. It was so perfectly orchestrated, my brother's death, because without going into a lot of details, anyway, he worked in Mexico and someone else took his life. And to not raise awareness and disturbance with it, the company paid my mom a chunk of change, and that chunk of change allowed her to live somewhat comfortably till the day she died. Because when my father died, they didn't do insurance, and my mother didn't have an education. She didn't have skills, and, you know, she was 52. So 6 years later, when my brother died, he was going to die August 9th anyway of cancer, car wreck, or whatever. But he chose something that was going to benefit this planet. Mm-hmm. And not only did it benefit my mother, but it brought exposure to what was going on, and the cat was out of the bag. So you see how perfectly orchestrated that was done. Yes, it brought a lot of pain to all of us, but without that, who knows where I would be for that experience. And there's was a lot of growth in that for my mother and my other siblings as well, and for the people around him that my brother touched.
So all the domino effect from that, so much growth, so much wisdom, all that came from that, and so beautifully orchestrated. You can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't. You can't. You can't. You can't. Yeah.
So let me ask you the tough question of the day.
Okay.
And I do this because you get information the rest of us don't. Which I love. When I grow up, I want to be a medium. I want to be you. The planet is pretty bumpy right now. I mean, there's just a lot going on. It seems dire in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Based on your expanded level of communication with people who have a broader perspective, what can you say about what's happening on the planet and how we, those of us who are here, can work with it in a way that's going to be healing for the planet and healing for us, so that we don't lose our minds in the process?
Yeah, because it can, you know, it definitely can. So just know that what we hear mostly is what they want us to hear about whatever's going on the planet. So I would turn a deaf ear to the majority of that, you know, personally, and just from what I know. And one of the biggest things that we all can do is spend 5 minutes a day sending nothing but just pure love to all those areas.
I love that.
Can you imagine if just half of just the United States did that? And the thing of it is get out of your judgy pants about who's wrong and who's right, because that's what's going on with what's going on. They know what's right, so they're got their egos in the way, whatever the situation is. Hate and anger never heals anything, but love does.
Yes.
And that sounds so cliche, but that is truth. And that is just 5 minutes, just sending them love. Just sending that area love, whatever the situation is. And it just know that when you're doing that, you're connecting to others who are doing the same thing. So you're expanding the consciousness. You're helping to expand the consciousness. You're a big, intricate part in this. What you're seeing is the illusion of what's really going on. Because what's really going on is that we are questioning everything. And this is something that we got away from. As simple as people who go to doctors. The doctor says this, this, and this, and they take the medicine, don't even question nothing.
It's like humanity is growing up.
Yes. And I really believe and know deep in, within me, this COVID thing that happened was such a gift for us on so many levels. People are questioning. And that's the thing. Question, read, just do. Don't, oh, they say this is how it is. And it just question.
Beautiful advice. So Denise, thank you so much for spending time with me today. I want to talk a little bit about what you do in your practice. Now, I have been to you a couple of times for a reading with my daughter, which is wonderful. You're just so gifted. And the message is always so beautiful. Can you talk a little bit about what services you offer and how we find you?
So my website is deniseramone.com. Real simple. So what I do is I provide mentorship where I have, you can purchase a mentorship package for 1 hour. And the mentorship is in anything you want it to be within this arena. You know, some people want to enhance their mediumship skills. Other people want to work through some grief or whatever it may be. And I do one-on-one sessions, you know, hour sessions. And I do 90-minute sessions. And then I do my healings for people. And everything's remote. I do it through Skype, Zoom, or FaceTime, or, you know, by the phone. And the healings, you know, they tell me, my team tells me what needs to be worked on, you know, and I just always tell people, put your intentions where you want it, because they'll know where to go. And I'm always amazed, like how, because when I go relay what they worked on and they say, oh my God, yes, I had this. And it's like, it just blows me away, because they just know what you need. Mm-hmm. And regardless if you know what you need. And that's what I do.
Well, Denise, thank you so much for your time today. I hope you'll come back.
Absolutely. Thank you for everything that you do, really.
Wonderful.
You're beautiful, beautiful inside and out.
I'm having a blast. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Take care.
Thank you for joining us on the Journey to the New Earth podcast. We hope we've created a safe space for our listeners to find out more. Whether you're curious or have a deeper reason for joining our community, please share our podcast on your socials, and with a simple click to subscribe, we'll invite you back to our next episode. Remember, we're all in this journey to the new earth, so let's enjoy the ride.